see that cartoon of the two turkeys standing there talking? And you see another turkey being led away by a guy with an axe. And one turkey says to the other turkey, "Look at him. That's the way I hope I can go when my time comes. Walking straight like a man." Oh, terrible. What's this? Oh, for crying out loud. Would you look at my horoscope for today? That's silly. Listen to my horoscope, then. Okay, listen to my horoscope for today. Seek favors with higher-ups who are in a position and mood to do so right now. Then, out to the social. And they're all off today. Somewhere, Mr. Smith is ready to talk business. The most distinctive sound. I'm going to be in very bad taste. Are you ready for very bad taste? I mean, in Thanksgiving? No, I better not. Give me some cheap guitar music, will you, Herbal? I thought of a terrible, terrible gag. I'm not going to say it. Have you ever heard a Thanksgiving poem, friends? Well, you are about to hear a Thanksgiving poem. How's that? I wish you all that pen and ink could write, and then some more. I hope you cannot even think of half you're thankful for. I hope your table holds a wealth of prime Thanksgiving fare, and love and peace and joy and health will all be seated there. I trust your guests will all be bright, but none of them too wise, and each will bring an appetite for mince or pumpkin pies. I hope the fowls will all be fat, the cider sweet to quaff, and when you snap a wishbone, that you'll win the larger half. I like that little corny sentiment stuff. Here's one called When Father Carves the Duck. We all look on with anxious eyes when Father carves the duck, and Mother almost always sighs when Father carves the duck. Then all of us prepare to rise and hold our bibs before our eyes and be prepared for some surprise. When Father carves the duck, he braces up and grabs a fork whenever he carves a duck, and won't be allowed a soul to talk until he's carved the duck. The fork is jabbed into the sides, across the breast the knife he slides, while every careful person hides from flying chips of duck. The platter's always sure to slip when Father carves a duck, and how it makes the dishes skip. Potatoes fly amok. The squash and cabbage leap in space. We get gravy on our face, and Father mutters Hindu grace whenever he carves the duck. We then have learned to walk around the dining room and pluck from off the windowsills and walls our share of Father's duck, while Father growls and blows and jaws and swears the knife was full of flaws and Mother laughs at him because he couldn't carve a duck. Bring it down, Herb, hold it there. You know, I'll tell you, Thanksgiving, it's fantastic. You can't even explain it to anybody else. This is one of those purely, truly, total American holidays. Total. And it's even that, is getting to be totally automated. Have you seen those turkeys that are already basted? I'm not kidding you. Do you see that? You can get turkeys that have got basting. And how do they ever do that? I suppose they, while the turkey's walking around, they inject it. Wait. I'm telling you, wait. I'm serious. Wait till they start growing turkeys that are already stuffed. I'm growing them. I can just see this turkey. One that says oyster stuffing. Another says chestnut. And, of course, that's kind of silly. And there we are. We're fascinating people. And when I was at the school, I went to... For a very brief time, I went to a university where they had a big farm, department, you know, agricultural department. They had all kinds of fields of peanuts and soybeans and all that jazz going. And one of the things they were working on at that time, and now you see them, of course, in the A&P, but one of the things they were working on in the farm or the agricultural genetics section, they were working on turkeys that are nothing but, you know, everybody wants the breast of turkey, you know, this is a whole bit. They were working on turkeys that were nothing but gigantic breasts, you know, with these little feet on the bottom. And, you know, serious, nothing else, no other part of the turkey was wanted. And so they eventually created these turkeys, if you see them in the stores now, they look like bowling balls, you know, they're round, and they got little feet sticking out the side. And they're totally made out of, you know, carving, white meat, breast, and all that stuff. Well, when I saw that, I said, you know, man is messing with nature. I mean, he is. You know, if you know anything about real wild turkeys, you ever seen a wild turkey? Very few people have ever seen one, a genuine wild turkey. I mean, the reason that the turkey, you see, is the bird that. That we celebrate Thanksgiving about is because the turkey was the bird that the pilgrims ran across. It was an American bird, and they had never seen a bird. You know, this is an American bird. It's one of the few genuine American birds, and you see them now in various places in the world. But they originated here, the turkey, the bird that we know as the turkey. And I'll never forget one time of the. Since we're, you know, we think of turkeys now as butterball, and we think of them as frozen. And, you know, the turkey is one of the world's dumbest birds. Are you aware of that? Absolutely. The turkey has got a brain about the size of the head of a pin. And a real dumb bird. And you know, turkeys, they flock them. One turkey does something if you have a flock of turkeys. One turkey may panic for some reason or other, and all the turkeys then will just go totally ape and kill like 5,000 of them in 5 minutes just from running over the cliff. Or they're worse than hell, the lemmings. Well, anybody who has ever been in the great Midwest outside of the New York area knows about turkeys. And I'll tell you two turkey stories about real turkeys, you know, the kind of turkeys that you eat, that... One of the times that I, one of the very few times that I, because I'm a turkey ape. I love turkey as a food. I think it's a great food, and I'm literally a turkey nut. You know, I go ape over turkey. However, one time I really got bugged with turkeys. That, you know, they grow a lot of turkeys in Indiana. Turkeys are particularly suited to that climate, and you'll find turkeys there. You'll find them. A large number of turkeys come from Wisconsin, for example. You'll find turkeys in Michigan, large numbers of turkeys in Michigan. Now, turkey is not grown the way you grow chickens. Most people think of a turkey as a kind of a big chicken. You know, oh no, a very different breed of cat, I'll tell you. And there's a couple of kinds of turkeys, but I remember one night, I'm in a hurry. And I don't recall where I was going, but I was in a hurry. And I'm in a car. Got it? And it was a cold, dark night. It was about this time of the year. It's Indiana. And this is a sight of turkeys you never see. And I'm driving. I say to myself, well, I'm going to make a shortcut, see? And I'm going to come over there, and I know this road, and I'm going to go down that road. And I'll cut off a half an hour, see? So I'm driving like mad. I've really got to get to this place. And to be honest with you, it involved a girl, in case you're interested. I mean, and, you know, this is the kind of mad boy. When you get mad over a chick, I mean, that's bad mad. You know, that's a bad one. So I'm, you know, like hurrying over to this place, and it's dark and it's cold, and I'm in my Ford, and I'm about 18 years old, and I'm really, you know, got to see this girl. I'm driving through this road when all of a sudden I see a light ahead of me. This is right in the middle of the road. I see this light. So when I start slowing up, I figure there's a car stop there. And it's a narrow road. It's about a lane and a half, you know, these asphalt-type roads that you see in the country. And I see this light, and it's cold. It's slightly raining. It's a miserable, crummy night. And I see a light. So I slow up, and I see ahead of me a great dark mass on the road, just sort of stretching endlessly. And in the middle of this great dark mass is a man. And he's carrying a lantern. He's got a light. He's got one of these Coleman lanterns. You know, these Coleman lights, real bright things. See? And I can see the light is casting a round shadow all around. It's a, you can see almost maybe a circle around him of light, maybe 10, 15 feet around him. And it was this insane, wild-looking, it was like out of a monster movie. This apparition that all around him is this writhing, moiling crowd of turkeys that he is walking along the road with. You know, they heard them, and he's taking them somewhere. And you could see this white light from the Coleman lamp playing on these turkey heads. Now, a turkey is not a beautiful bird from the neck up. He kind of looks bad, you know. And he's got these red wattles hanging and the comb and all that stuff and his eyes. And the eyes, there's a certain maniacal, strange quality to turkey's eyes. And with the light, with the light hitting the eyes of these turkeys, you could see them glowing. They, you know how certain animals' eyes will glow in the dark? Well, I don't know whether you've ever looked at a turkey eye in the dark, friend. A turkey eye in the dark, I'll tell you, is enough to make you swear off anything. I mean, it was a... Well, I pull up, you see, and here's these turkeys, and they're all sort of moving like a great mob of ants or something, and they all stay together, very close, tight-knit thing, see. And they're going... That is wild. You know how turkeys go. That's the sound of a turkey. And they're calling back and forth in the darkness. Well, I stop, see, and here's the farmer. He's just walking along with his turkeys. He must have had 7 trillion of these babies, you know? Well, I decide what I'm going to do is I'm going to back up. He says, right away, I said, holy smokes, I'll never get through here, you know. I'm not going to go driving over the fields with the forge, you know, busting the axles. And all. I can't get around them. The turkeys spread out on the shoulders of the road. And, it was just like getting behind some herd of warthogs or something. And I say, I'm going to turn around. Well, I see in my rearview mirror, I see another light. Well, I start backing up, and I hear somebody hollering. I hear this voice, hey, look out, oh! And I look out, I open the door, and I look back at me, and behind me is the beginning, like the avant-garde, of another herd of turkeys. Some other farmer, and these two guys apparently are driving them down in two great big herds, and the guy has just joined the crowd, and there I am stuck. I am stuck between two herds of turkeys. Well, now, one thing about the turkey, friend, if you don't know anything about turkeys, you're going to learn something about turkeys. The turkey has a mind of his own. What there is of it, it's his own. And if he doesn't want to move, he doesn't move. And if he wants to do anything, you know, he'll do it. And so these turkeys are walking ahead of me. And they do very leisurely. They mess around. One would stop and, as soon as one would stop, that would give the idea to the last 428 turkeys that it's stopping time. See, then they'd all stop. And then the guy would come back and he'd holler at them in turkey talk. Woo, woo, woo. And then they'd start moving. Then they'd look. Then they'd start moving sideways. Then they'd move the rest back and forth. They'd go, these turkeys. And once in a while, one of the turkeys, you see, would be a big tom turkey. You know, they had these fantastic tails occasionally. Now, they only open that tail... That big tail opens up like an enormous fan. You've seen pictures of them. Well, the only time they open that tail up is when they see, a lady-type turkey showing up, see, that looks kind of good to them, see? So they open up this tail, and then they start showing off. Are you aware that tail is all part of the big act, you know? Well, it's the equivalent of, a guy gets himself a suit down at Barney's, you know, with a nipped-in waist, you know? Speaking of turkeys, this is WOR, friends, and this is Radio Free Broadway here at I hope, I hope all those yams are settling down good. I'll let that cranberry... Be careful, you know. Have you ever had cranberry wine?
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Oh, I'm telling you, cranberry makes a wine that blows the top right off of your bean. Right off. Never had it, huh? Well, maybe I'll have to settle for Miller beer. Hit that thing. Yeah, Miller beer.
Yeah, fast title, please.
You can tell I'm in a good mood tonight.
There's something special about Miller High Life.
Yeah, it's beer. That's what's special about it.
A satisfying beer.
Oh, yeah.
With a hearty, robust flavor.
That's not like those other beers, you know.
Always deep down good.
Get you right where you live.
Well, simply because Miller makes it right.
But it'll mess it up. They don't make any fake beer now.
In bottles, in champagne gold cans.
Yeah. Hey, you suck that old bottle, man.
Miller High Life, the champagne of bottled beer.
You know why they call it High Life, don't you?
Bubble, bubble.
Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee.
He faked me out. He said Miller, Milwaukee. He faked me out. He sent it over to music. That phony. You can't trust nobody. But let's get our little commercials here done. I hate to talk about food today. I mean, you know, stuff and all that stuff. But if you get around Sunday, if you get a little tired of turkey leftovers, friends, and that's quite possible, I would like to suggest that you take Sunday brunch at the Great Shanghai. That's at Broadway at 103rd Street, a magnificent buffet, the most delicious Chinese food, Shanghai style. All you can eat for $2.50. By the way, speaking of Shanghai style, I want to salute the TV commercial. Have you seen that TV commercial? All right, I'll finish this one here first, and then we got to salute something here. Children under 4 feet tall are half price. So if you've got any 2.5 foot high kids, they can eat all they want for half price, $2.50. You could just have all the Chinese food, and it's from 11 o'clock in the morning all the way to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's Chinese brunch. $2.50. The Great Shanghai, and they are legendary. I'll tell you, there must be 17 generations of Columbia students have grown fat on the Great Shanghai's egg rolls. And that's Broadway at 103rd Street, and you'll get no trouble. It's the IRT comes right up next to the dishwashing machine there at the Great Shanghai. Hello, man. I'll tell you, I do the only show here that all the maintenance men at WOR dig. Have you noticed that? They keep wandering in and out. Although one of them mentioned the other day that he misses Faye Henley. But outside of that, speaking of commercials and food, I've got to salute whoever came up with that. They did it beautifully. What the heck? Now, and I know this is a bad thing to do, but you know I can't remember what product they were selling, which I suppose kills the whole idea of the commercial. Now, it's a commercial that you see. It's just come on the last couple of weeks, and it is a magnificent recreation of the Charlie Chan movies. Have you seen that? That's right. Exactly. It's the Volkswagen people. What a fantastic commercial they've got. I mean, it's really beautifully done. And there's a scene with Charlie Chan, and not only are they carrying the whole thing. It's not camp. They don't hulk it up, you know, like the fake Lone Ranger and the fake Sergeant Preston. By the way, that's a funny commercial too.
You mean to tell me you don't take pictures of your children in the winter? Put the cuffs on them. That was beautifully done. You and your little people. Have you seen that one?
But I will say, watch for the VW commercial. When they take that, he's solving a crime. Now, if you have ever seen the Charlie Chan movies, you know that Charlie Chan always in the end of all of his pictures. It was almost a ritual. By the way, I'm a great Charlie Chan movie fan. I love those. Now, I really do. I dig those, and I like the Mr. Moto pictures. But more than ever, I like Charlie Chan because there was such style about them. And in the end of every picture, he would say this, "Oh, number one, son, please lock door. In this room, we have the murderer. We have her with us today. And now you, Mrs. Prentice, where were you at 12:03 the Wednesday night that Mr. Bullard was strangled by the man-eating Venus flytrap?" And then you see the butler skulking around trying to get out of the room. You know that big scene where he tells how the crime occurred then? He says, "Oh, was very simple. As all Chinese proverb say, man who see will see. And I see now man has dropped 45 caliber revolver into the fern plant. The fern plant, instead of being fern plant, was cleverly replaced by Mr. Prentice to become Venus flytrap. Venus flytrap, glass 45 revolver, and plug Mr. Bullard through the heart." And you see this guy saying, "Oh, no, you can't prove it." "Oh, so we cannot prove it. We have sworn testimony of Venus Flytrap, who has confessed to a crime. Bum, ba-dum, bum." Oh, what a beautiful commercial. And the scene, watch for it. I won't even tell you, because in 159 seconds, they do a whole Charlie Chan movie, really. And not only that, they carried it all the way through. Instead of making it in color, they make it in that washed-out black and white, the kind of film that the Monogram Pictures people bought from the Walgreens drugstore, wherever it is they got their film. And it was beautifully done, really. And they even went to the extent of, you know how Charlie Chan was always surrounded by the disgruntled sergeant from the police force who didn't solve the mystery? And they always was looking confused when Charlie Chan, "Inspector, you have failed to observe. Man who does not leave footprint is not man at all." And he says, "Jeez, I never thought of that, Chief." Oh, man. But, this is all part of our life, so we might as well talk about our life. You know, you want to hear what happened? Oh, you want to hear the rest of the story, eh? About the turkeys? Oh, speaking of turkeys, before we do that, don't forget, friends, Christmas fun. Start anteing up now. Christmas is not far away. Send your dimes and nickels and quarters or $4,000 bills to Box 710, WOR, Children's Christmas Fund, Times Square Station, New York, New York. And that's right that we should be on a place called Times Square. Dump-da-dump-dump. I'm sorry. It's just one of those silly nights. Did you hear what I said on the Skitch Henderson show the other day? It was one of the worst puns I ever... Have you noticed my brain is starting to get soft, Herb? I mean, for years, I hated people who made puns, and now I find myself making puns. And I said a terrible one the other day. I'm on the Skitch Henderson show, and I want to apologize to anybody who might have seen that. I'm embarrassed. I'm sitting on the Skitch Henderson show. Yeah, and Skitch, you know, he's sitting there with the beard wagon. He's a great guy. I enjoyed him. And we're talking about a little group. You know, there was a group on the show. Tip the cap. And we're sitting there talking away. And Henderson is saying, this little group of theater people who are doing a little sketch on the show. He says, I used to do a lot of sketches like that on the old Tonight Show. And I turned to him, and I must admit, I'm apologizing. If Skitch Henderson is anywhere, I'm apologizing. I turned to him, and I says, "Well, of course, we all know that's how you got your nickname." Well, I want to tell you, even the band got mad. One guy threw his guitar down on the floor, and, you know, he just sulked for the rest of the afternoon. It was so bad. Skitch Henderson. Oh, oh. Skitch looked at me, and you know, you could just see in his eyes, you could just see all of a sudden they clouded over, and it meant one thing: you aren't ever going to get on this show again, Jack. Well, that kind of junk. Well, nevertheless, you see, you get involved, you know, life is a tough scene, you know, you're struggling, you fight against, oh, you want to hear the rest of it, about the turkeys. Oh, all right, we'll continue our turkey. Well, I tell you, I want to tell you this, you know, this chick is waiting for me in the next town. And ahead of me, you know, here's this mob of 4,000 angry bugged walking around turkeys, and they loiter. I mean, there's nothing like a turkey for loitering. You know, they just don't seem to have any purpose in life. They mess around, and one of these big turkeys, he's got the big tail all opened up like a big fan, and he spots a fantastic chick turkey on the other side, and you know, yelling and hollering, and all the other turkeys run over there, and then they go back again, and then he lowers his fan. There I'm sitting behind, and in the rearview mirror, I see this other crowd of turkeys coming up, and the guy's yelling. He says, "Don't back up. Watch out, Mac. What do you think you're doing?" Well, I sat there, and these turkeys that were coming up behind, it must have been like the Red Sea party. These turkeys coming up behind sort of just went all around the car, you know. They just like a great big river. And I started to edge forward, you see, following the other turkeys ahead of me. I'm not going to stay here all night. And before I knew what happened, I am in the middle of a gigantic turkey flock. And they're behind me, they're on my left side, they're on my right side, they're ahead of me, and we're moving down this country road, and I would say roughly about, maybe 6 or 7 feet an hour. And all around me, and one turkey got caught under my differential in the back, and we had to get out and pull them out. They're going under the car. You know, they're very dumb, you see. Yeah, he thought it was the sky. He's caught under my differential. You know, they're going, I could hear him under my floorboard. Now, one thing you probably are not aware of, turkeys en masse have a very, very, well, they're extremely gamey. That's all I got to say. And they're very, very gamey. And furthermore, they're very uninhibited. I mean, their personal habits are not the, you know, exactly the kind of personal habits. And so these turkeys are all around me. I'm driving forward, and it's like it's like a surrealistic nightmare, surrealistic dream. And the farmer ahead, he's waving the lantern. The guy behind me's got his lantern. And the entire entourage moved over the landscape like a scene out of an Ingmar Bergman movie. The turkeys. Well, the turkeys are quacking, and I'm sitting in the car quacking, and we're moving out. And it must have been like an hour and a half. We finally get to the end of this road. Well, I'm going to wait, see, which way the turkey's going. It was a T road. Now, have you ever seen, you know, the T road where the main road, which we were on, splits off, and there's two roads go off in either direction, see? And I'm saying to myself now, I'm going to see which way these guys are going to turn with the turkeys. And when they go that way, I'm going to go the other way. Well, the guy in the front turns right. The guy in the left turns left. There I am, stuck. Two flocks of turkeys. One crowd is going east. The other crowd is going west. I got my choice. It's either that or drive over a pumpkin field, which was straight ahead. Well, I drove up behind this turkey guy. I was so bucked. I'm all dressed up. It's been like an hour and a half behind these crummy turkeys. I got so bucked, I did something which even to this day, I'm sorry for doing it. I came right up behind them, and all these turkeys are walking along, you know, with a funny look on their face, and their bills are going, and their eyeballs are spinning. They're going, wah, 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 wah. I drove right up behind them, and I put my hand on the horn, and I went, wah! I'll tell you, friends, have you ever hollered fire in the middle of the Saturday night feature down at the Bijou with everybody sitting there? These turkeys blew their cork. The air is full of turkeys. They flop their wings.
and they're landing on the top of the Ford. They're on my hood, and they're all, you know. I see this guy running around, you know, he's got his lantern, and he's hollering. And if you've ever heard a farmer swear, friends, I'll tell you, they know languages sometimes that stevedores don't know. Because, you see, they're with the barnyard. They know a lot of stuff. So he's running around. These turkeys, it's like a gigantic rain of turkeys. They're landing on the car. Well, I sat there. I really blew it. I really blew it this time. And these turkeys were so bucked, they wouldn't move. They're sitting on the fenders. They're sitting on the running board. There's one turkey in the back seat crying, you know. They're all up in the air. I sat there. Holy God, these turkeys. What am I going to do? And the guy looks in, and he says, well, all right, wise guy. Now look what you done did. We're going to sit here all night till them damn turkeys decide they're going to start moving again. And you know what happens? Them turkeys, when they get scared, they just won't move. Dum-da-dum-bum. I said, well, I was trying to turn around and my elbow hit the horn. It don't get me out of that. And this turkey is just sitting there on the hood looking into the window at me. He's looking right into the windshield, seeing the big, fat 47-pound turkey. You can see he's lost 10 years of his age, you know. His feathers are turning white, you know, because of the horn. And we sit there. And the turkeys wouldn't move. They just sat. I don't think I ever told this story. It's a true story. The turkeys did not. They just didn't move. You know, the turkeys were so bugged that they sat, and once in a while, one would look up and go, 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 go. You know, he's scared. Go, 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 go. You know, if you think Chicken Little was afraid of the sky falling, friends, you don't know what a turkey's like. I'll tell you, a turkey is not only afraid the sky is falling, he is totally convinced it's just hit him all the time. They're scared, you know. When we sat there for about 15 minutes, and this farmer's walking around chewing mayo pouch and spitting and bugged. He's got his lantern going, and finally, one by one, the turkeys start walking off the hood. And they're looking around, you know, looking a little scared. They start getting down the road, and they start falling into company formation once again, see. Well, I don't have to tell you. We walked down that road. Me, my Ford, the scared turkeys, the farmer spitting into the ditch. We went maybe 200 or 300 yards. He comes to the farmhouse, and the turkeys all turn off left. Off they go. And I put the car in first very, very carefully, you know, to get out of there. And I moved on down the road. The car, it smelled with a smell that to the day I got rid of that car, never fully was expunged. It's a very ripe port I sold. It's got, I don't know how to say this delicately, but turkeys, when they're afraid, friends, fear acts on a turkey the way that marvelous product that tastes just like Swiss chocolate acts on a 9-year-old kid after he's eaten 2 packages of it, you know? Well, I got my electric blue sport coat on. The car is covered with a thick coating. Man, you know. And just been a bad night, see, all the way down the lines. Well, I finally got to the next town. I'll never forget this girl's name. Her name was Patty. And she worked in a drugstore. And Patty was off her job about 7 o'clock. I'm showing up about 10, see? And I drive up in front of the drugstore. One of these drugstores that stay up until midnight. See, her shift has been over, and she's sitting up there at the counter waiting. And I walk in. I said, Patty, you won't believe this. And she looked at me with those 2 cold blue eyes. She says, that's probably true. I said, but Patty, I got, well, Patty, come on up to the car and we'll talk. I got an inspiration, see. Well, we left Fifield's drugstore. We went out, and in front of Fifield's drugstore was my car. My car looking like a chicken coop with wheels. I said, Patty, now I was going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I got trapped by 7,550 turkeys. And she looked at my car. The feathers were still falling off. Three turkeys have sat on my shoulder, you know, during the melee. She looked at me. She said, you are a slob. I said, I'm a slob. The turkeys, I didn't do it. She says, all right. Let's go. It's date time. Well, you know, I had to wipe off the handle of the car. She got in, and she's all dressed up. You know, she had her dress on under her uniform. She sits in the front seat of the car there. And I'll tell you, it was just a very bad scene. The turkey in the back seat, you know, he'd gotten excited, too. And what was so fantastic? Do you know that the next day I found three turkey eggs on the back seat of the car? I didn't know they laid eggs, you know. Somehow I had an idea turkeys came from the A&P, you know. There were big eggs back there. Well, we start to go along the street, and it was just terrible. We start to go along the street, and I'm supposed to be taking her to dinner. And we, you know, we pulled up in front of this place where they had the dinner, and I got out, and it was just terrible. Everything's going down here. We walk in, and what do you think they had as the special that night? I don't even have to tell you. That night's special was turkey with stuffing. One of my friends, probably. You know, that had ridden along with me, you know, and picked up a hitchhiker. Well, Patty and I sat there. The car is smelling up the block. I'm sitting, and I had to, you know, immediately in the restaurant, I went into the gentleman's room, and I'm wiping it off, you know, and there's an attendant in there. See, there's an attendant sitting here. You know, the attendant of the John Oyler, he's sitting there, and he's got combs and Lucky Tiger and stuff like that, see? And I've got this stuff all over my shoulder, and he comes up, and he says, how are you, sir? I said, fine. He says, can I help you, sir? And he takes out this spot remover. He says, what is that? You know, they ask you when they're taking a spot, what is it, see? And I said, well, what is it? It looks like, he said, it can't be what it looks like. I said, it is. He says, chickens? I said, worse than that. He said, what do you mean, geese? I said, no, worse than that. He said, well, what is it? Guess. What is it? I said, turkey. He says, turkey? That never come out. Did you know, friends, it never comes out? That's right. You know, right now, today, I've got a turkey spotted sport coat in my closet. And if turkeys ever really come back as a decorative item, I'm ready. You know? And so, would you give me a little romantic? Give me, that's it. There you go, see. Ever since that time, friends. Yeah. Chicken croquettes. Yeah. Turkey meatballs. Ever since that time, turkeys have not seemed to... You know, you can get too intimate. You know what they say? Familiarity breeds contempt. And it certainly does. I don't think I'm respected by a turkey anywhere in the Midwestern states these days. But, you know, speaking of turkeys, you want to hear another turkey story? That's a true story. That fantastic scene. I don't think I ever told that. And you can see why. Some things you just don't talk about, you know, even if they're funny. In fact, the funniest thing you never mention. But one time, I'm going to tell you, I'm not a hunter. I mean, I've never gone hunting for stuff ever since I was a kid. You know, I've had trouble with the
friends of mine who love to go hunting. I try to pretend like I'm enthused, you know, when some guy brings in this little bird that he shot, you know, $7,000 worth of shotgun, a yellow bird. Well, one time, oh, yeah, think about it for a minute, you know. I mean, you get seven stories of Abercrombie and Fitch all aimed at this one poor little bird sitting on the telephone wires, you know. But nevertheless, the one of the wildest moments I ever had with turkeys, friends. And I got euchred into it. You know, you always get these invitations around Thanksgiving, saying I'm free, 21, walking around. And I was working with a guy one time. This is right after I got out of college, and I'm working in this radio station, television station in Cincinnati. And one of the executives walked in, and he says, listen. He said, you really want to do something great on Thanksgiving? And I said, yeah, you know, I'd already prepared, you know, my mind already was set for Thanksgiving dinner at the H&H, you know. And he says, well, look, he says, how about taking an invitation? I'm going to give you an invitation. He said, you really want to do something great? I said, yeah. He said, okay. He says, tonight after work, because you're off tomorrow, Thanksgiving, he says, tonight after work, me and Fred, he says, we're going to meet you. He says, I'm going to bring my wife. And he says, we're going to go someplace. He says, you're going to have a Thanksgiving you never believe. So I said, okay. Now remember, this is Cincinnati. So the next night, in the car, and we drive out to the airfield. We get out there, and here's this private airplane. And six of us get into this plane. They got a pilot, and they fly. We fly straight south. And I keep saying to Fred, I said, Fred, where are we going? He said, you wait. Fantastic. We fly south. We're flying about 2 hours. We land in an airfield in Tennessee. And 20 minutes later, I am wearing a canvas suit. I'm in the deep woods. And I'm hunting for wild turkeys. And I can't get out of it, you know. I mean, it's such a big thing. After such a big celebration, you know, and the whole thing, you can't say to the guy, get out. You know, you're flown 7,000 miles. And now I am sitting in a bramble patch. And we're on the edge of a swamp in the deep, dark mountain fastnesses of Tennessee. This is strictly Snuffy Smith country. And I saw, you know, a lot of these big, tall, skinny natives walking around with white lightning over their shoulders. And we got a guide who's one of those guys. You know, he kept spitting into the jug and then drinking. You know, just, oh, I'm telling you the truth. You know, oh, that adds a little bit. So we're sitting, I'm sorry, this is life. You're alive. So we're sitting in the middle of a bramble patch. I am, and I've got this shotgun. And they have told me that the turkeys go by here. You know, the turkeys walk by. They, like you're hunting deer, you see. They wander around. And he says, you stay right here. And don't move a muscle. Be very quiet. And so everybody is spotted out there in the blinds. We're waiting, see. Now, I had never seen a wild turkey ever in my life. And we've come 8,000 miles by air. And I'm scrunched down. It's cold. My ears are falling off. And I got this bourbon. I'm sipping a little bourbon once in a while. When all of a sudden, I was there about a half an hour. Something flicks. I see a leaf move. And sure enough, a head comes out and looks around. And I can see him outlined against the sky. He takes a step, and there he is. A wild turkey. He's beautiful. Fantastic. You have no idea how tall and thin, and they stand up high on their legs. They're in the wilds. They're brown and gold, yellow, and there's little flecks of iridescent green. And that big head, and they're totally different than those other dumb turkeys. Boy, is he sharp. He's looking around. See. Well, I got my shotgun, and I know these other guys are sitting around with shotguns. I ain't going to see this happen. So I reach down. I'm watching a turkey. He goes, he's calling for a friend. And I hear one of my buddies over there with his turkey call go, and his turkey looks up. And I say, oh, no, you don't, Dad. And I reach down, and I take a rock. And I said, here, buddy,
get going while the going is good. And I throw that rock, and he goes up in the air he goes. And I can see him going over the horizon, safe. You've never seen anything in your life until you've seen a wild turkey in full flight. Fantastic. They make butterballs look like butterballs.